Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to open them up to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to be picking up where we left off last week. And we were talking about how that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and how that God chose to save men by the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. And I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on that this morning. So let's go ahead and read verse 26 and through 29. For you see your calling. You guys see your calling?
Yeah.
I hope you do as we read this. I hope you can see it clearly. That not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Listen, this is why. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Brother Nathan, would you ask a blessing upon us for this morning, please?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this house of worship. We thank you greatly for this morning's worship service. We thank you, Father, for each family represented here. We pray, dear Lord, that you would touch each heart with your word this morning. We pray, dear Lord, that you would bless our pastor in sharing your word. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us to live it, to love it, and to take it with us wherever we go. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we read these verses of Scripture, I think it's important to understand that, you know, God has called us to a calling that is different than this world's.
Right.
At least what the world perceives that God would call them to. Natural man always chooses the easy way, whether they want to admit it or not, they do. Don't let anyone deceive you, folks. The Christian path is not an easy path. It is not. The gospel shares several accounts, but there are three particular accounts that I want to share with you this morning of men who said that they would follow Jesus. They said it right to the Lord's face, and as they said this to the Lord, at the same time, they put conditions upon it. God says, if you're going to follow me, there's no conditions. Amen? Jesus simply told them the truth. Here, let's look at these accounts here. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 58. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not or nowhere to lay his head. Jesus lets him know that following him in ministry as a disciple was not going to be a bed of roses. You aren't going to be staying in four-star hotels or in some luxury, you know, resort. As a matter of fact, I think the call here is that you would have to humble yourself to a very low place to follow Jesus, that he would send you to some of the hardest places in the world. You know, because, for example, I'll take Brother Daryl, going to Peru, going to the Arab nations, going to the African nations that he goes to. They don't have the accommodations that we have here. But those folks need to hear the gospel too.
Amen.
You see, most likely, this fella, he probably might have just walked back what he had said because that he would not be able to be a partaker of material possessions or the comforts of home and what have you. And so many people that happens to. And when people set off in the mission field, knowing the kind of struggles that they're going to have, people look at you and they say, oh, how foolish. And yet, in the eyes of the Lord, oh, how rich. Amen?
Amen.
We look at verse 59 through 60 in Luke 9. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another place in the scriptures where Jesus said, unless you hate your mother, your father, your brothers and sisters, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Now, does that mean in the literal sense that you hate them and don't want them? No, because we're called to love, right? But what he's trying to get across there is that you got to put God first before anything else.
Amen.
You see? Parental obligation stood in the way of this man following Jesus. And so he is basically saying, you know, I hear the call upon my life, but, you know, for I still have this obligation with my parents. Let me finish that first. Let that be fulfilled. I wonder how many men and women have turned away from the call of God because of the influence of their parents, because of the influence of family who were not believers, who looked at them and said, how foolish, how foolish. And yet God has called us to walk this walk of so-called foolishness. And yet he says it's wiser than the wisdom of the world, you see. Look at the next verses here, because it continues on about family. In verse 61 through 62, and another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who were in my house. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me talk to my family. Let me make sure it's okay with them. You know what? Usually family's going to look at you and they're going to say, are you crazy? Did you fall on your head or something? Because it doesn't make sense that you want to put yourself in danger and harm's way. I know people would look at Pastor Saeed, who's been arrested in Iran, and look, say, how foolish that he put himself in that danger. And yet I would probably wager with you that man is probably more blessed because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life right now than he ever would be. And I believe he's pleasing God, and I believe his reward is great in heaven. You see, it seems foolish to the world, and yet it's the way that God has called us to walk. So we see Paul here as an example. No wonder that God would use this man, Paul, because he's willing to let everything else go. It seemed foolish to the world and his friends and neighbors, all those around him, that he would be willing to give up all these things. Remember what he said he was, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know, he was schooled, much learned, and he was very zealous, and he was very religious, and yet he's willing to give all that up for the cause of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 and 13, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He simply determined that he was going to press on no matter what the cost. And as believers, I believe that's what we need to be doing. I've shared with you before that God is looking for men and women who are willing to give up all for him, everything. And he's promised this. If you try to go the easy way, you're going to lose your life. But if you lose your life, you'll gain your life. Yeah. You know, I was watching something about the special forces, the Navy SEALs and other special forces. Only a few people can pass their rigorous training to become the elite fighting force that they are. As a matter of fact, it was like 1 in 3, I think, fail out of the Navy SEALs. And why do they give up? Because it's hard. It's rigorous. Something rings true about the special forces, the Navy SEALs, and the Christian warrior. Amen? It's hard. It is hard. There's no denying it. But Jesus said that he would be there to help you through it, and he would strengthen you. One of the greatest reasons why it is so hard is because you have to bear the reproach of the Lord, you see. This world hates the Lord. It's because they're walking after the spirit of the power of the air, after the wicked one. It hates the Lord. And if you line yourself up with Jesus, then the world's going to hate you. Remember Jesus himself said in John 15, verse 18 through 20, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So you see, we as believers are called to be God's elite force. We are. But we must determine that we're not going to wash out, amen, like many in those services do. We've got to determine that we're going to press on. We're going to press on. We're not going to let anything defeat us. We need to remember Paul's admonition to young Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 through 4, he says, "You therefore must," listen, "you must," what does that mean? You must.
No,
yeah. "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier." That's your calling, you see. People can't understand why you're willing to go through all that, why you're willing to suffer the reproach and the cause of Christ. Wonder, why don't you just take the easy way? Kind of reminds you of Job's wife, doesn't it? Why don't you just curse God and die? God says to Satan, he says, "You can do anything you want to Job, but you can't kill him." He took his children, took everything else, but he didn't take his wife because they're one with Job. She's one with Job. But I imagine there were times he probably wished that, you know, especially when she would say things like that. You see, I believe our response should be the same as Moses. When Moses, when he was in Egypt, Egypt is a type of the world. And in chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, it says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter." Didn't want to sit around in the palace and have the easy life. He was willing to be put in a place where he was suffering with his brethren, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You could say the same thing. If you put yourself in a position where you're wanting to please God, you're willing to bear the reproach of the name of the Lord, and you esteem that the reproach of Christ is greater riches than the treasures of this world. And why do you do that? The same reason, Moses, because you look for the reward. You look for the reward. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as him who seeing him who is invisible." Same thing is true for us as believers. We must endure, you know, seeing him who is invisible, believing in his promises that he has promised, you see. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 11 says, "Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling." I think it's the calling that we're talking about here. "To fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." I believe that's what God wants for you and I as believers. And we are told that Paul, he prayed earnestly for believers that they would understand what exactly was the hope of their calling. That they wouldn't be in the dark. And that they would be able to see beyond their right here and now circumstance and look to the future for the reward. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, it says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and," listen, "revelation in the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." And then he's talking about the reward here. "And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places." Amen. Now, there's an admonition in the book of Hebrews again. The importance of holding on to your calling and not letting it slip. In Hebrews 10, chapter 32, verse 30-39, it says, "But recall the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured great struggles with sufferings." It didn't say, "You endured great sufferings because it wasn't too bad." No, it was bad. "Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." He's talking about that reward.
Amen.
"For you have need," listen, saints, "you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry.
Amen.
Now the just shall live by faith." God said it, I believe it.
Amen.
"But if anyone draws back," I mean, if you try to lose, gain your life, you're going to lose it. "If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition," which means simply means waste, a wasted life, "but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Amen? So I thank the Lord that he's given us the knowledge of that through revelation of his great and exceeding promises. Folks, the world is our boot camp. And you may have to experience some very trying things, and you might have to experience some very trying times. But they are only to prepare us. You see, we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and realize that we don't have to fight the battle. We just have to go forward and bear the standard.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, he's Lord. David faced Goliath down. It wasn't David that beat that giant that day. And he acknowledged it. He said, you've come in with here with a spear and a sword, but I come here in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to take your head off your head. And he did. By the power of God. Here's an admonition we need to remember as believers. Because sometimes we go through it, and a lot of times people get discouraged and they think, well, it's too hard. I want to fall away and do what was easier. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. If you don't mind marking your Bible, I encourage you to mark this one down. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial," which is what? To try you. As though some strange thing was happening to you. Anybody ever feel like that? Think, God, what in the world's going on? Well, I think a lot of it is, a lot of Christians have been sold a bill of goods thinking, when you become a Christian, everything's going to become so good and so right, never have any problems at all. You need to find that person and beat him with a board, because it's not true. Life is better because you know the King, amen?
Amen.
And he's able to help you through every circumstance.
Amen.
But he has never promised that we will not have tribulations and troubles.
That's right.
It says, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed," listen, there's a reward there, remember, "you may also be glad with exceeding joy."
Amen.
"If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified." They'll stand back and say, "You're a fool. You're a fool to believe this. You're a fool to act like this." Let him say it. We know what God's word says. To the world, we are foolish. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to reveal his power.
Amen.
I think about even like the poor, for example. If you're poor, and incidentally, there's this prosperity message that's out there today. It's wrong gospel, you know. And matter of fact, the Bible says that God has said that the poor of this world, he's made to be rich in faith. You realize that?
Yeah.
Right here. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there come in unto you into the assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and to the poor man you say, stand here or sit at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom, heirs to the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? You know, you go to some of the nations, the third world nations like Africa and some of the Arab nations and some of the nations that are just really backward according to our standards. The miraculous happens constantly, all the time. Because God's made them so rich in faith. What a blessing that is. Amen? What a blessing that has to be. Now, the Lord uses the weak things in this world in order that only He gets the credit. That's really what it's telling us. So some might say, was God on a big, huge ego trip? Is He saying, I don't want anyone else to get the glory because I need to be affirmed? Is that what God's saying? That's ridiculous because He's God. He doesn't have need of us. We have need of Him.
Amen.
God uses the weak things of this world not because of a lack in His nature, but because of a lack in our nature. You might ask, well, what am I talking about here? What do I mean? Well, God knows this about us. He knows that when He uses somebody that's impressive in our eyes, what happens? People usually get their eyes upon that person. And we just set ourselves up for a great big fall, don't we? Why? Because the flesh will fail you. The flesh will fail you. This is why you should never, ever put a pastor on a pedestal, an evangelist, or anybody like that. Only God should get the glory for anything.
Amen.
Only God.
Amen.
Remember what Paul said, what did you receive that you did not receive from the Lord? If anybody glories, let him glory in the Lord and what he's done. God doesn't want us to glory in the flesh because he knows it ultimately will fail. But if you put your trust in the Spirit, in God himself, he will come through for you. Amen. There's an example. In the book of Isaiah, it says something that I think that's kind of often overlooked by people. I think they miss it. And it's important seeing what we're discussing here this morning. It kind of fits right in. But in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. As we look at this, Isaiah could have wrote simply, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This happened when I was in the temple. But no, he said this first, in the year King Uzziah died. I think there's a reason for that. King Uzziah was one of the most powerful, successful, gifted kings in the history of Judah and of Israel. Uzziah increased the boundaries of the nation. He brought economic prosperity, and he actually increased the war machine. I mean, they were second to none. And it seemed that all the nations knew who he was, especially the people of his own nation. His name was on their lips too. In 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 8, it says, even the enemies and the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. And his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, so he became exceedingly strong. Well, that's wonderful. But God didn't want his people to trust in a Uzziah. He wants his people to trust in his son. Amen? It wasn't until Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord. You know, people still get their eyes on people today, don't they?
Yes.
I'm going to say it. I don't want to offend anybody, but I remember even back in the 80s when people were watching Jimmy Swaggart on television, everybody would say, Jimmy this, Jimmy that, Jimmy the other, you know? And then what happened? I'm not condemning him. I believe he's repented and things like that. But all I'm saying is that when you get your eyes upon a man like that, you're just setting yourself up for failure. A lot of times it's been my observation when people follow after other Christians, usually it's because they find that these other Christians are giving them permission to live after the flesh, carnally. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to share with you what the Word of God has to say.
Thank you.
The Bible tells us that we need to perfect holiness in the fear of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 talks about those who would teach others to walk carnally and still be right with God. Brother Nathan was talking about that this morning. It says in 2 Peter 2, and verse 2 and 3, it says, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Because, you know, obviously, you know, if you're going to teach something, you've got to speak evil of the right way, right? And by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. That sound like a lot what you see on television today? I tell you, some of the things I hear on television just horrifies me, that people would actually follow that kind of teaching because it gets their eyes off the true message, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're kind of running out of time today. I had planned to share a little bit more with you, but I don't want to keep you too long. I'm just going to give you some food to think about for this next coming week, and then we're going to go on from here and finish up chapter 1 next week. But folks, you know, He truly is the only way, and His way is the right way.
Amen.
His way is the way that says you must suffer with Him. But He has promised in His Word that if we suffer with Him, what's going to happen? We're going to reign with Him. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads.